this place right now, Father. Thank you for your glory. Lord, we just thank you for being our God. There's something special that's happening in this nation today. There are other churches right now that are being engaged in something. And this is something that we are going to be doing this morning. It's called Called to Fall. This is based on 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And most of us know that verse. But this morning, based on what is happening in this nation, this is something that we need to take seriously. Very seriously. That verse says, if my people, possessive, God's people, if my people who are called by my name, people who are known by his name. He's not talking about the prostitute out in the street. He's not talking about the drug dealer. He's not talking about those who are not in the kingdom. He's talking about us. He's calling us specifically. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Let's forget about position. Let's forget about where we're at. Let's forget about who we are as far as notoriety is concerned. Humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Not that he will hear from heaven. He's in heaven. In heaven, he will hear us and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So this morning, I want to call every kingdom citizen here according to that verse. The altar is open. Or you can be, just go ahead and do this where you're at. But he's called us to humble ourselves and pray and to seek him like we've never sought him before. Seek his face and turn away from our wicked ways. If there is ever a time that we need to do this, it's now. Our Supreme Court has made a decision. There's been division in the Supreme Court. There have been those who have known the truth. It's come out now that there was separation in that decision. But we as God's people have dropped the ball. We've dropped the ball. So now we need to come to God on our knees in prayer, humbling ourselves, crying out to him, seeking his face, asking for his forgiveness, not only for this nation, but for ourselves, for what we have going on in our lives. And he said he will hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. Not just this nation, the territory he's given us, our families, our relationships, our lives, our businesses, our spiritual life. All the territory that he has given us, everything he's given us authority over, he will heal. But there's a stipulation. We must do the first things he said there. So now I'm opening up the altar, and we're going to take some time this morning, as long as it takes, for you to come before God and to humble himself and to seek his face. So it's open up now.
guys for your participation in that and with all the other congregations across our nation this morning. Hallelujah. Victoria, you need to leave, right? You need to go? Let's. Victoria's going. I know many of you probably don't know her, but she's going to speak. Let's just pray for her as she leaves. Father, I just thank you so much, God. And I ask that you would give Victoria a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that her voice would be strong and bold in the spirit. The Father, even as she goes to speak, that you would download, Father, from your very heart and very mouth and mind, exactly what she is to say and how she is to say it. God, I ask that you would increase the anointing on her life, that you would move by signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory. Glory be to God. Have a wonderful meeting. Bless the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen, 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 amen. It's good to consistently and constantly have a repented heart before the Lord. And you know, repentance is not just turning from something, but it's turning to someone. It's turning to the Lord. But it's also good, too, especially now that in this day, this hour, that we be humble, repentant warriors for the Lord. And that we continue to speak and to do and to say the things that God is speaking to us and showing us in this day and in this hour. Because we're seeing a great division and a dividing, even in the house of God. And those that are following the Lord and those who are on, I don't want to really put it this way, but it's true, that are with him on his side and those that aren't. And just when you think that things got bad, we see a lot of other things that are getting worse. But I want to remind everyone that as the days go forward and we march towards the end of this age, that we're going to see a harvest of all of the evil that has been sown from day one. But we're also going to see all of the harvest from all of the righteousness and all of the holiness and all of the light that has been sown from day one. So do not grow faint nor weary from what we see. It is a day and an hour where we have to focus on exactly what the Lord is doing, because the Lord is moving. He is mighty in power. We have to see, we have to hear, and we have to see what the Spirit of God is doing. We cannot be ignorant of the enemy's schemes and blind, turn a blind eye and be deceived by what our enemy is doing. But we must spend more time and more focus on what God's doing and what God is saying, because he is moving mightily in the earth. He has never trumped. He's never fooled. He knows exactly what's going on. He's not shocked nor surprised. And if he's not, we shouldn't be either, because we are sitting with Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We need to have a perspective. So I just decree that we would have a holy divine perspective in Jesus' mighty name, that this congregation would not fear and would not tremble, but we would only fear in the face of God. We would only fear one man and one God, and we would be a warriors, humble warriors, that we would have a repented heart, but we would also have a heart of a warrior, that we would gain the warrior's heart of David, the king that would rule in righteousness. For Jesus says that he has the key of David. So we shall not focus on what the enemy is doing, but we will focus on what the Lord is doing. For he is only doing that which God is doing, because he's perverting the very things the Lord is doing. He wants to pervert God's covenant, and he wants to pervert God's very image and his creation. And we're going to walk in holiness and truth and righteousness and display the true image and glory of God from our very being. Glory be to God. There are some really, really fascinating things that are going on. I don't know what I'm going to talk about this morning here for the few minutes that we have together, but I was in a couple meetings this last week. We've mentioned this mainly on Wednesday night too, about Bible translation. That is, it's accelerated in a rapid pace. And I met with a guy from the Faith Comes by Hearing. We've talked a little bit about that. That is recording as many languages. Their goal is to record every known language on earth into an audio form, especially because there's lots of oral cultures out there. They are working with some extremely smart military governmental people. They have already developed a satellite that's 1 foot long, 4 inch by 4 inch, that they can launch into the atmosphere, into orbit by just a plane, a high elevation plane, and it'll have enough information to carry every Bible and every known language that anybody, this is the gospel being spread without borders. I mean, you don't even need to smuggle Bibles into countries anymore. They've developed little chips that go in cell phones. You can get the Bible now by even dialing old landlines. There's scrambled numbers people can get. They're actually tracking this too. So when they're using their app, there's many different ways that the Bible's getting out, but they're able to track everything but the little micro SD cards right now. So, and when I say track, they're able to find out who's on it, what country they're at, not only what country, but what spot of the country, how long they're on it, what translation. And every time they get on it, and they said right now there's an average in the Middle East that people are downloading the Bibles in the Middle East in the 1040 window, and they're listening to the Bible 4 hours a day. That's average. Here in the United States, it's 2 to 3 minutes, which didn't surprise me. But the Word of God is going out, and that's just one aspect. It's just being broadcast. When he's showing me pictures of this stuff and showing the military guys that are in, just, he said that they sat with these, they're communication experts is what they are, and some of them are ex-military, and some of them are still involved, and they know how to communicate, and they went into the whole triangulation and all this, and how they can just pinpoint right where this person is speaking on a cell phone. It's an amazing thing. And they were sitting talking with them, and the one guy, and he goes in such a military way. He goes, "So what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do?" And he said, "Well, we want every human being on the planet to hear the gospel." Special Forces, and he has a team of ex-Special Forces buddies, and they've developed this ministry, and it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It sounded like a military ministry, and they already have a camp, and they are training Christians because they're seeing what's happening in the Middle East and all the persecution to Christians, and they are training Christians in our country. This is like, there's so many crazy stuff happening. It's just training Christians on what to do in warfare and things, on how not to allow what's happening in the Middle East happen here. And that was just one fascinating thing. And, you know, a lot of things are happening grassroots now. There's a lot of, you know, pastors, denominate people that are just, there's a lot of waking up. People are waking up to certain things, but there's a lot that really aren't, and they're just continuing doing business as usual. But there's a lot of just people, business leaders, and all kinds of people that are really know that there's some stuff happening, and it's not anything we haven't really talked about a lot, but it seems like right now there's just a ton of activity and things happening. And so let's keep our heads up. Let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord, that regardless of what, because I really believe, I've said this before too, that the Lord is setting some stuff up. He is setting things up for revival, for awakening. And, you know, we've even prayed, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes to see the salvation come to this nation and for the body of Christ to wake up. Been talking a lot about, and I want to continue talking about it, I don't know how much I will today, and that's just really about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the importance. But one of the things I wanted to bring out this morning, and I wasn't planning on it, but the Lord just reminded me as we were praying, He said it was at the time that Jesus, just before He was ascended, and you remember that Jesus' conversation with His apostles, that, that when He told them to wait into Jerusalem and, until they were received this promise, until they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this was the very last conversation Jesus had with His apostles before He ascended. This is a very important, a very, very important conversation. He told them to wait there. He didn't want them to do ministry. You know, I've been saying for many, many years, we've been teaching this too, that I don't believe that anybody, I don't care what denomination they're in, biblically speaking, they should not be in any form of ministry. They should not be doing a thing in ministry unless they're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not my opinion. That's what Jesus said. He told them to wait, that you needed to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that the Lord reminded me of today, that it was in a period of time in Israel that is a similar time that we're in the United States when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. There was Roman domination. The body of Christ, or we can say the church, the body of Christ was in hypocrisy and deception at the highest levels. And so we saw a mess, really, when Jesus walked the earth. The Jerusalem was in a mess. The region was in a mess. It was controlled and dominated by a foreign country, Rome, and the body of Christ. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, as a whole, were a mess. And it didn't look good. And Jesus took just 12 guys. And one of those 12 guys betrayed Him. And they picked another one afterwards. And it was just 12 guys. And then the rest, you know, there was 120 in the upper room. When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened, and the Lord used 12 guys and then the rest to change the world upside down. And we are benefactors of what happened there in the midst of a very chaotic, dominating, oppressive time. So it doesn't really matter so much what's happening in our country and the world and all of the darkness that we see. God trumps it all. And if we continue to stay focused and we wait when He says wait, we go when He says go, we receive what He has for us to receive, and we just continue to follow Him, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. How many times have we been talking about that? We've got to know His voice, and we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And there's lots of aspects. There's some aspects, and those that haven't been here, if you've listened to some of the tapes, there's a lot of things the Lord has been waking me up to, has been showing me I've never seen before from the filling of the Holy Spirit, and some aspects about Him that we're going to continue to talk about, because I believe that it's time for this. It's time that those of us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and maybe we've just kind of let it go and we haven't been really functioning that, it's time to be revived and be filled with the Spirit again and be constantly filled to overflowing all of the time, so we can be empowered by Him, enabled by Him, led by Him, and we can be taught by Him. So we're going to continue to talk about that. I shared this with somebody the other night. I was invited, by the way, it was at that meeting. I was invited by Eric. We had Eric Rochester here from the Sending Project a few months ago, and he invited me to a meeting along with another pastor that wrote a book to talk about a book. This was just Thursday night, and it was just a really great time. It was all leaders too. It was just 25 church leaders there, and we also had some Q&A time and some things that were happening, and we got to share some things, and this other pastor's book sounds incredible. He gave me one. We exchanged books, and his book is all on Western mindset and how we've interpreted the Bible and how we've taken scriptures out of context was just like right up my alley. I loved that stuff and got so excited about that too. But I talked with somebody about this because started talking to me about baptism in the Holy Spirit that night. And I said, you know, one of the things the Lord just recently showed me, and we've been teaching it here the last few weeks, is the Great Commission. When Jesus said, to go into all of the world, and he said to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, we've always kind of translated that or thought of it as water baptism, but it just struck me one day that when I was reading that, and again, I want to encourage you at this time too, if you have not been doing this, to really get into the scriptures, the gospels, and really meditate, read, and study everything that Jesus said and everything Jesus did. I'm really getting a lot. There's some stuff I haven't talked about that the Lord's been showing me through this. You know, when the Lord has us to do certain things, there's an anointing, there's grace on it, and there's a reason. There's like a stream of things he wants to download. And I don't believe it was just for me. I believe it was for our congregation. But anyway, as I was reading that, the Lord was just showing, you know, it just struck me, you know, baptizing the Father, Son, and all the water baptisms I've done before, I've baptized people in water, saying in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I knew what the definition of baptism means. It means to be immersed in. And I went through the scripture and I started reading all of the places in scripture where it talks about baptism, whether it's Holy Spirit baptism in the Holy Spirit or water baptism. And I found that when Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was no reference like that when he was talking about water baptism. There's none. This is a unique, the way he phrased it was unique to anything else as far as water baptism. And usually when you read, anytime they were talking about water baptism, it references John's baptism, baptism of repentance, or baptism in the name of Jesus. And remember, Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Son. So when we baptize people in the name of Jesus, that's water baptism or repentance or reference to John baptism. Or there's some reference in there in that phrase to water. But never baptism in the name of the Father or baptism in the Father. Or in other words, an immersion in the Father or immersion in the Son. To be completely drenched and just immersed in Father, completely immersed in Son, and completely immersed in Holy Spirit. And it was a fascinating way. And it just opened up my eyes to see some things I've never really seen before. Because Jesus didn't say, just go water baptize people. Matter of fact, even one of the greatest apostles in the Bible, Paul, he said, I was never sent to water baptize. Fascinating. So if Jesus was so primary or was so focused to water baptize, why did Paul even say, well, I wasn't. And matter of fact, he even said, I only baptized, I can't even remember who I baptized. Oh, yeah, I baptized this family and these people. But that was it when he was talking about water baptism. So what am I saying? There's a whole lot more to baptism than water baptism. I'm not saying water baptism is not important, but you certainly don't have to be water baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be water baptized or be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. But you do need, it is a requirement, biblically speaking, kingdom speaking, it is a requirement to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit before you launch out into any ministry. That's what Jesus says, to be completely immersed. But also, there's not much speaking about being immersed in Father. Not a lot of it. And I believe that, at least in part of being immersed in Father is really our identity. Knowing that he's really our daddy, his DNA really flows in us, and we are really sons of our daddy. I believe that's at least a beginning of understanding and being completely immersed in Father. We talked about how John the Baptist said that when Jesus comes, that you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And further look at that, it's really you're going to be baptized in Holy Spirit fire. And man, we can go in a whole series and references about fire and what fire really means and all of that. And when the apostles were first baptized, they were tongues of fire, like tongues of fire that went over them. And that fire references judgment, and it references purity, and it references his presence. And there's a lot to talk about in that aspect. But one of the main things that is really standing out for our day and for our hour is when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began to speak. They began to speak a language they didn't know before. They began to speak divine words, heavenly words, words of authority and power, words of praise. They began to speak words, it was tongues of fire that began to create things. We see with Peter, Peter was changed when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, Peter was a bold man anyway. In the natural, he was just bold. He would speak and he was brash and he could, you know, it didn't bother him. He was a bold man. But when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was continually bold, but now he was bold in the Spirit. Now he withstood, because just prior to that baptism in the Holy Spirit, he was running. He denied Christ. He ran from a servant girl and hid himself. He was hiding from that. But now that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he goes out into the street. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He's now bold in the Spirit, not just bold in the flesh or in the natural. And what the results, when he preached, the results from that boldness and seeing 3,000 men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a result. And I want to look, I want to show you something else, something the Lord has just showed me about this. In Acts chapter 2, if you can turn there. Let's remember what Jesus said when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power. How many of you want some power? This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly, I love the Lord's suddenlies. The Lord loves to surprise us and just come and just, and there's a suddenly of the Lord. And came from heaven, there was a noise like what? A violent rushing wind. We're going to talk a little bit more about wind, because that really is just, when you look up spirit, the word spirit is the Greek word pneuma. It means wind, it means breath. When God created the worlds, he spoke. It was the breath of God that went forth that created things. When he spoke, when he breathed into Adam, it was his spirit, everything that was in the inside of God. It was the wind of God, the breath of God that went into Adam and caused them to become alive. When you get born again, he breathes on us. When we looked at last week that Jesus breathed on his apostles, he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And I showed you in that verse, just to clarify too, I think it's in John, where it says that Jesus breathed on them, because the word fire, when John the Baptist, am I going too fast? A lot of this is, I'm just rehearsing some things, saying it over and over. So when John the Baptist said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit fire, that fire also, you know, means judgment and things. When Jesus breathed on his apostles, what he also said in that very same moment, he talked about forgiveness of sins. He said, the sins that you retain are retained, and the sins that you have forgiven are forgiven. Now, I only reference that because when you forgive sins, you have to make a judgment. And he was referencing judgment with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with that fire, that we're going to be equipped now. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit to release the judgments of God. And we are living in a day and an hour. Kamal and I got into another discussion about this last night too, because we've talked about it previously, where the Lord is raising up righteous and holy New Testament judges. They're going to be anointed and equipped to release the judgments of God. However, I believe that all born-again, spirit-filled Christians can function in that, just like all Christians can function in prophecy, but not all are prophets. The Supreme Court decision on gay marriage, we also had them make the decision about the Obamacare. Hold your place in Acts. I do want to come back to that before we finish today. I'll probably close with that, something the Lord showed me with Peter. But you remember we didn't have that Wednesday night prayer, and we moved it to Sunday night. It was the following Monday the Supreme Court was going to hear the arguments. And that was a very unique time. I was reminded of that just thinking of that and all of the things that we kind of released that night. I think that was probably a time that we released more judgments than ever before, and really even since that time. How many of you that were here would agree with that? I felt like judgments were just being released. And I thought that was an amazing thing. And I know for me personally, I think I've mentioned this a few times, it was very difficult after that night to pray about that situation again. I had a very difficult, as a matter of fact, I couldn't. It was hard to pray about it. I felt like that we were done. We released the judgments and we were just done. It was just, I even tried, just to be honest with you, even in my own quiet time, I was like, you know, and I had a couple little weak things about it. I was like, you know, I just don't have it. You know what I mean? I just don't have it to pray. And I just kind of felt like we were done with that. And it's interesting how this has developed. But I believe that the Lord wants to use his body in bringing judgments. And judgments don't always mean that's a negative thing. They could be a very positive thing as well. Matter of fact, there are two sides to a judgment. Any judgment we release, it could be negative for a party, but it's positive for another party. Am I making sense? I'm kind of rattling off some things here really quick. And let's just go to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The Spirit of God was providing the words. He wasn't making them use all their motor skills. He was providing words to them. See, this is just what we need to be doing anyway. The words need to be provided so we can speak. When we're praying, the words are provided so we can just speak them. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of them in our own language to which we were born? I'm going to skip all those names because I'll probably butcher some of them anyway. Let's go down to verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they were all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? We might see something like this in our day. I mean, you believe that. Where people take notice, whether it's this or something like this, something supernatural, spectacular, spiritual, and people say, what in the world does this mean? What's happening? But others were mocking, saying, they're full of sweet wine. And here's what I want to focus on right now. And it says, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11. I read this and I just was struck. Why is it worded like this? It could just say Peter began to speak. It says Peter taking his stand. Romans 14:4 says this, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Remember Peter, less than what, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, could not stand. When he was questioned, aren't you a Jesus follower? Weren't you one of those? Weren't you one of those guys? Warming by the fire, a servant girl. Hey, I recognize you. No, I don't know the guy. Couldn't take his stand. But now, when that wind blew, And he was filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says he took his stand. He couldn't take his stand pre-crucifixion. But now he takes his stand post-crucifixion, post-resurrection. They can't find Jesus' body. Not the apostles, but the Romans and the religious bunch. And he takes his stand in the street, filled with the Spirit of God, preaches one of the most powerful and convicting messages. Man, do we need the filling of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about something we work up in the natural. I'm talking about something that's divine. That the Spirit of God just comes over us. That we walk in the power of the Spirit. That we sleep in the power of the Spirit. That we eat our meals in the power of the Spirit. That we read the Bible in the power of the Spirit. That we take our stand, not in arrogance, not in pridefulness, not into the power of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. That we just take our stand. Yeah. I did. Yeah, absolutely. Really good. Yeah. Yep. Yes. When you said that, it reminded me of something. We can be baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit and still not respond and still not pick it up. We have to hook into the Spirit. We have to join with. He's our helper. He's not our doer. He's not going to just make you do it. He helps you to do it. So you could be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't mean that you're going to walk in it. We still have the act of our own will to choose to function by the power of the Spirit of God. However, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have it at all. All we have to relegate to is our flesh and the power of our own flesh, our own might, and our own will. Does that make sense? But Peter took his stand. This word, like Karen just said, also means to abide, to appoint, to bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, lay, present, to set firmly into place. That's okay. I'm just about done anyway, I think. Fireworks. Fire. Yeah, I'm not going to take any more time to go further, but we have a lot to talk about in this passage. We need to relook at being baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit and the importance of it, the value of it. And I believe the Lord wants to blow on us again in the body of Christ. We're ripe. We need an infilling, an infusion of the Spirit of God. And we need to begin to really function by the Spirit of God in a way that maybe we've never really functioned before. And we need to hear from the Lord clearly and accurately. He's speaking. We just need to hear clearly. We need to hear accurately so we can respond to what he's saying. So, Lord, I thank you so much, Father, that, Lord, you've truly provided everything that we need for life and for godliness and to function in the gifts, the callings, the place that you have us to function in, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that enables us to stand. So, God, I pray now for our congregation that, God, that they would seek you in a new way. They would seek the Spirit of God. If they're not baptized, filled with the Spirit of God, that they would seek you for it, Father God. that they would receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Father, we pray for the congregations in our city, the congregations in our nation. We pray for the denominations, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, for the community of Christ, that the Spirit of God would just blow in that place, Lord, and that there would be a filling, a baptizing of the Holy Spirit in just crazy places, in the bar down the street, Lord God, in families that are so far from the Lord, from you, Lord, that they would just come suddenly into their house, suddenly down Main Street, suddenly into the courtrooms in our nation, suddenly into the Supreme Court, suddenly into our military, suddenly, Father, in state houses, suddenly into congregations and churches that have resisted you and resisted the Spirit of God. God, that we would receive new tongues, new languages, new words. Words from the very throne of God. Thrones that will tear things down, words that will tear down, words that will build up. That there would be a binding and a loosening in ways we've never seen before. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you too for all of the amazing things and ministries that are moving and shaking. And Father, the way that you're developing things and moving things so quickly in this day and this hour. That we see that we actually can see the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime, God. Can I share something? Just kind of came to mind, so I just want to share it. I'm not even sure why, but I just feel like I should share this, and it won't take very long. There is going to be, and it's going to step up an oppressive weight to try to shut the prophetic voice down. Okay, just so you're aware of it. And that's going to increase and increase and increase. That's why it's so important that we have to know who we are, whose we are, Amen. And we have to know truth. We have to know the Word of God. We have to be firmly planted in truth and firmly planted in the Word. What does the Word say? And I've mentioned this story many, many times, but the way I was actually the means God used, immediate means God used in my life to lead me to Him was Jehovah's Witness material. And I was reading Jehovah's Witness material, a book, and God used the truth, because there's truth in everything, by the way. The lie depends on a truth for its very existence. There would be no such thing as a lie if there wasn't truth. Because a lie is the perversion and the twisting of what truth is. But the Lord used the truth that was in that to awaken my heart to Him. And several years later, one of the very first messages I ever preached to adults is I preached that experience. Because one of the things I was so fearful of when the Lord called me into a speaking and teaching type ministry was I was going to say something wrong, do something, teach something that was not right. And that crippled me in fear. Okay, now I see how this is relating. Because of that oppressive spirit, it's going to bring that spirit of fear to try to shut you up. And so the Lord reminded me of that material years later, and He asked me, He said, was everything in that true? I said, no. I didn't even know it at the time, but I knew it now because I knew that now I know the difference. I said, no, it wasn't true. And He said, well, not everything you're going to say is true either. When God's really honest, He's just really honest. He's like, and He kind of just left it like that, like, it's going to be okay. And then He spoke to me and He said, but the truth you do say, just like the truth that was in that material, I can take that truth And I can cover the eyes of people to the false and take that truth, and it can go and penetrate hearts and minds and bring a change, just like it did to you. And I didn't know why I was saying that, but I know now. And I just wanted to say that to you, because I think every one of us we kind of wrestle with those kinds of thoughts. I might say something wrong or whatever. And not to be fearful of that, but to speak what you believe that you hear the Lord saying, what the Word of God is saying. We've got to be careful we're not arrogant and prideful and you know, we get on the enemy's turf and use the enemy's devices. But the way the Spirit of God is doing it, because when He does, He can do that. We might not even see the fruit of it, but He's doing it. I know for certain that that's happening, because when the Word of God is spoken, when truth is spoken, when we're speaking what God, it's the wind and the Spirit of God coming from me because it was, or you because it was coming from the Lord. We are a conduit to transfer the Spirit of God into the atmosphere and into people. And how they receive that, and how that's not my responsibility, it's not your responsibility. It's the Lord's. He's the one that causes the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that causes the increase. And so we have to, and that's one of the values of Wednesday night too, because we practice that in a safe environment so we can go out into the world, into the workplace, and we can continue saying what we're hearing the Spirit of God saying. Because our words are so powerful. They're creative or they can be destructive. Some things do need to be pulled down. But some things need to, you know, go out with that creative force. Amen. Bless you. Look up, for your redemption draweth very nigh. Did you have something? Oh, okay. Glory be to God. Bless you. Have a wonderful day.